other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, a new podcast on the internet sponsored by Francois's Turd World. My name's Aaron, here with my personal pals Dave.
Hey, boys.
Brick.
Sometimes books.
And calling from Old Ireland, Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
Now, on this podcast, we talk a lot about... Well, we don't talk a lot about books. We talk about books sometimes. There's other things we talk about, too. But books is one of our main topics. And we're often talking about books that we have enjoyed or have some fondness for. But it's time to talk about books that we don't have that fondness for. It's books that we hated. So our topic here is the worst book you've ever read. This is a challenge. We've got some strong contenders for everyone here. Partly because of our long-running drunk read series, which was a way to expose ourselves to terrible books routinely. I know mine comes from that arena. I'll see what my pals do. Let's start with Brick. You seem hot and ready to go.
I'm ready.
So, Brick, what's the worst book you read?
Early Work, Yak Babies Yakking Up.
Was that really it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a lot, because a lot of those drunk read books were just awful. Zabib and the King.
Sure, Snooki's book.
The Kardashians book. Did I read Snooki?
Jesus. No, you read Kardashians.
I know I read Kardashians, the dollhouse with the ice cubes in the vagina.
That's right. How could we forget?
And the one about the sorority.
Oh, yeah, Rush. Dirty Rush.
Dirty Rush, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, there are some bad books. You had Rush Revere, speaking of Rush.
Yeah, we'll get there.
great. Good time to shit on him. Quartz is fresresh.
Yeah,
King. Flags in Florida are still half-mast. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But so I did read this book in that era. I remember this book only in that I remember hating it. So I dug it up because I keep all my books and I still have it.
Sure.
And then I read my review because I reviewed it for our old website. I got angry all over again. This is a book that, as I wrote in the review, I heard of this book because it was on some schmuck's best young adult horror list of that year, I believe 2009. Mm-hmm. And then this book is not in any way, well, one, good, but also young adult or horror. It is called A Young Girl's Crimes.
Whoa.
By a man named David Rehack.
Immediate red flag is the subtitle there, Uncensored and Uncut.
Yeah. Yes. Also, immediate red flag is the obvious Twilight.
Oh, yeah, sure. The
impersonation of the black cover with the bloody knife and flower. Like, it could... It's obviously going for Twilight.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read you the back matter. When he's not writing, David Rehack works as an ESL instructor in language schools. His first book, A Young Girl's Crimes, struck a deep nerve when it first made a splash in the literary scene and created much controversy. Sparking heated mixed debate, it has been called both a minimalistic masterpiece and trash literature. Both well-written and badly written, both highly moral and highly immoral. One prominent newspaper dubbed it the first Christian porn novel.
What?
Can you imagine being proud of that? All that?
Yeah. So what this is some kind of weird fucking rapist manifesto. Ugh. Of someone who we met a lot of David Rehacks in MFA schools. We're like, this dude thinks he's hot shit. But half the book is literally block quotes from the Bible. And then the other half is violent rape fantasies. So what I'm going to do instead of reliving my own trauma is I'm going to read you just some snippets from my review for Chamber 4. So skip forwarding a bit. Basically, it's about a girl who's like a choir girl and then gets horny. So decides to leave the church and become obsessed with Marquis de Sade. So she just reads that book and it opens her fucking eyes and her asshole and she's ready. So she goes out in the world. So then I wrote, only a few pages after discovering de Sade, she murders her crotchety old tutor with a pillow with little provocation. Then she performs cunnilingus on the dead elderly woman and masturbates while violently beating the corpse. This scene is presented in graphic detail. So is Flora's molestation and beating of a young boy, her year-long foray into homosexuality with the replacement tutor, and the anal sex she has with her brother.
God.
Yeah. And then, so skipping forward a bit, preachiness and poor plotting would be forgivable if the writing was even a degree above juvenile. In a quick Google search of the author, I found people lauding him as brilliant and a prodigy. How's this for prodigious? Here's a quote. If anybody's liquored up or drugged up, it's you, so beat it before I beat you into a coma. Oh, I'm really scared, said the cheeky kid, snickering. Is that what you did to her? If Bill didn't have Stephanie on his hands, literally, he would have caught the boy and bloodied him up a bit. But he decided he had far more important things on his mind than childishness.
That's from the book?
Yeah. Or this. And then here's the other quote. And this, I'm pretty sure, is the worst line I've ever read in any book of my entire life. It's stuck with me for 12 years or whatever. Here's a quote from the book. The parts of her body that hurt most were her injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I looked it up. This dude fled the country.
Jesus. Well, yeah, not surprising.
And the country being Canada, by the way. So he's gone. He's in Bulgaria or something. Supposedly his medical issues, but I'm guessing he got up to no good.
Right.
I think the back matter I read in the beginning, I emphasized a little bit. I think it's a little telling that it says, when he's not writing, he works as an ESL instructor in language schools.
Right.
Where this dude is definitely like bouncing around raping people.
Yeah. I mean, that's horrible and insane.
Yeah.
Where did you find this book again?
It was on Amazon. And it was on a list of like best young adult, because remember back early in Chamber 4, I was trying to like do a whole project where I read a lot of young adult and kind of decided what was good and what wasn't and trying to draw the line between, because it was in that real push to qualify young adult as literary.
Right, right.
So I turned it up then, and man, I hit a real turd in the diamond mine.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like the perils of... I assume it's self-published, right? It has to be.
It says he has an agent and a publisher, but it certainly looks self-published. It's certainly some kind of short run.
I mean, his agent could be himself.
Yeah, it must be because it's Create Space.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, not a book I would read under normal circumstances, and had I probably not been reviewing, I doubt I would have gotten past the first chapter. But instead, I suffered through it and fucking burned into my brain, and I still get mad about it.
Yeah, that's like the weird thing about self-publishing is that you can, with relative ease and without any intention, get exposed to something really heinous that you didn't want to be exposed to. It's harder to be casually flipping through movies on like Netflix or whatever and be like, oh, let's like watch this and see if it's like, and then be like, watch something that is not just bad, but like an obscenity. And then this happens and you're like, oh, great, I didn't want to read this.
Yeah. I do give the guy a little credit for his clever his attempts at self-promotion. Like, it's pretty clear that most of the praise that he's kind of is just criticism that he reframed.
Sure.
One of the pull quotes in the back of the book says, before the release of Crippled Dreams, many were still raving and debating about David Rehak's first book, A Young Girl's Crimes, which was powerful and controversial. And then it says, thewashingtonpost.com.
That's like someone in a comment thread.
It sure was. Yeah. So
it was like, I read this book and it fucking sucked. Yeah.
I just took it from the comment pages on the Washington Post.
That's ballsy.
Yeah, it is ballsy.
Was it his own comment?
Anyway, don't.
This guy has discovered the way to get a great review. Just comment on the New York Times review of your book and then quote your own
be a troll.
Yeah, I will say that now the only thing I've gotten out of this book 12 years later was I had a great time going back and reading some old reviews of ours. So I need to spend a little more time in the archive because this reminded me. Remember that time I got into it with that sci-fi author who I panned his book and he was just like trying to what about it? Yeah, those are good ones. So I'll be spending a little time on the archive. There's a game in here somewhere. I'll figure
scrapbook
out.
Of old fights. Dave, let's hear from you. What's the worst book you ever read?
Well, like you mentioned earlier, and a lot of the candidates come from the podcast for sure. My first thought, because he's freshly dead, was Rush. When you guys made me read Rush Revere in the what was it? The first Patriots?
Was it
the Liberty Bell?
I can't even remember. I tried to whitewash it. Anyway,
I thought it was Rushing into History.
Anyway, Rush's series about a little substitute teacher cartoon of himself, and you guys made me read it for a drunk review. It was absolutely horrible, but that seemed too easy. So then I also thought about the one James Patterson experience I've had, which is reading that book shot with you, Aaron, The Little Black Dress.
LBD.
Yeah, LBD.
Yeah.
Oof.
And boy, was that bad too. Good candidate, just like early work as well. Obviously, the book that we all had to read together and absolutely despised. But in the end, I ended up with another old friend of ours, and it's kind of a bittersweet choice because it's just a god-awful book, but the fact that it was so bad has led to a lot of fun on previous recordings, and the book is The Informers, and the writer is Craig Nova.
Of course.
Ooh. Blast from the past.
Wow.
And just now, while Brick was talking, I went to the archives because I should have thought to get some examples of why the writing is so bad. And I found an old email thread. So here are just a couple of examples. And this book is just littered with this kind of writing. She hadn't given up on proving herself, and she wasn't a coward, not damaged goods, whose father was a banker. And then he has this thing. It's like, Aaron, you always talk about his idea of specificity in the novel. He just like keeps... he goes on way too long.
And it's also
to try to force in details.
Yeah, and it's always based on like uncertainty. It's always like his hair was brown or maybe blonde or a brownish blonde or rust colored. It's always like a couple different options. Like, you're the writer, choose one and go with it. Like, you have to make a decision at some point.
Or it gets weirdly specific for no reason and with no effect. Like this one, the typing from the hall was insistent, as though one letter or number was being typed over and over and over. 9, 9, 9, 9
If you couldn't get it from the description, here's a instance of it just to make sure you know what I'm talking about. It's a repetition of one letter or number 9
to really hammer that home. And here's one of these second guessing ones. It's Felix sat down like a gargoyle or a stone figure.
That's the opposite. That's like anti-specificity. That's like going from a specific and then you're like making it broader.
Yeah.
Like his coat was banana yellow or just yellow. It's like, okay.
Right, exactly. Anyway, it's so bad. And I've read a couple of his since then just for the podcast, and they're all like that. I thought maybe it's just this one. He was trying something new, but no, he was trying something old and he's just really bad at it.
That's like a new school.
And they keep publishing him. It's big publishing houses just keep trotting out his books, and they're absolutely awful.
I can't believe you've read more than one. I forgot that.
Yeah, because mostly for the game. I mean, I've read two others, and we kept passing lines around, and it's been fun every time. I'm going to do it again for Yak Babies. I think those were all page count games, so I'm going to get back to him. But yeah, The Informers, Craig Nova.
Nico, I assume you're still deciding.
Wow.
But spin the wheel, and let's see what the worst book you've ever read is.
All right, so the first one that popped into my head was the one that I wound up choosing. I didn't do a ton of rigorous comparison, but this book is so bad. It's like one of those that's like, and this was published by, like, it was published, it's a four-part series. I made it 100 pages into the first book before I was like, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. This is the worst writer. These are terrible characters. And the whole thing is just a disaster. And it's called The Demimonde by Rod Rees. Yeah, so the year was 2011 when it came out. I decided to, in my review, I was like, I decided to read a bad book because I had read too many that were mediocre, and I had started to read this Demimonde book and it was terrible, and I put it down. And then later I was like, all right, I'm gonna read a bad book. I'm gonna go back to this thing. Let's start with the premise. In the far future, the year 2018, the army trains people with simulations. And this simulation is called the Demimonde. And it's an elaborate computer simulation made to train military cadets in quote-unquote asymmetric warfare environments. Unfortunately, if you die in the simulation, you die in real life, which makes it pretty bad.
It's like a horrible idea.
It's like immediately it has a huge problem.
We're doing it in virtual style. Why? Well, so it's still safer.
And then
but they do die. Well, sure.
Yeah. And then they populate it with like history's greatest monsters. So there's like a bunch of Nazis like running around in this thing. And so I think his idea was to have this like young black American girl like go in and fight Nazis. And it's like, okay, but the way that you did it doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all why she would want to go in. She's a jazz singer who's 18, and the army goes and seeks her out to fight Hitler in a computer game. It's like, what the fuck? And so, also, the technology that they use in the Demimonde is restricted to the 1870s. So the most advanced weapon that they have is a musket. And it's, again, it's a military simulation in the year 2018.
To train soldiers for a current war.
Modern for, like, Iraq and Afghanistan.
Asymmetrical warfare. And
they train them to use muskets.
While fighting Nazi.
Yeah, it's wild. And then also, what happens is that the Nazis in the simulation are also vampires. So they are simulated vampires. So literally people go into the simulation and then they're immediately captured by the Nazis and just like used, because humans in this simulation create blood, but the simulated Nazis don't have blood, but they need blood to live. It's real weird. Simulated. It's like he just threw everything at the wall. Then somebody's like, okay, this seems like you just keep sending people in to try to get your other people out, and then they get captured, and then you have to send more people in. why don't you just shut it down? And the guy in charge of it goes, well, we would, except that the president's daughter has gotten stuck inside. And then, so the main character, the hero, is an 18-year-old black woman from America. The writer is a 60-year-old white guy from England. It's not good.
Yeah.
He doesn't do a great job writing a black character. And then, so here's one of the worst lines. This is her thinking, describing like one of the guys from one of the army guys who's trying to recruit her. He looked like an undertaker, though his long Roman nose, his dark button eyes that snarled out at Ella from behind shaded glasses, and his oiled black hair made him an extremely aggressive looking undertaker. I would love to see how dark button eyes snarl out at somebody from behind sunglasses.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, right.
And so then, like, she like is talking to one of Hitler's lieutenants. They're just like this before she goes in. I didn't even make it to the part where she goes into the simulation because I couldn't stand it. But so she's about to, they just want to, like, I don't know, acclimatize her. So they're gonna have her talk to this Nazi that they've simulated outside the simulation, and he's like, you're of a lesser race, I would never discuss my career with you. And she says, I understand you're an officer, Herr Heydrich, then surely your duty is to help those of lesser ability. And he goes, very well, okay. Wow. It's like, what? Why would a Nazi be like, oh yes, I'm motivated by moral duty?
You make a good point.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it that way, I guess. Yeah, good point.
So that was, wow, as far as they made it in the Demimonde.
Yeah, that's really bad.
And somehow that got bought for 4 books. And I think he's still writing.
Wow. That's like the...
wild to me.
Just like the ultimate version of the sort of like that genre thing of take whatever the genre we're doing and then sort of add a twist to it with a different genre. So we're doing sci-fi, yeah, but also there's vampires, whatever. This is like, we're doing, yeah, future sci-fi, but also it's old-timey war, and also it's Nazis, and also it's vampire Nazis, and also it's Die Hard, yeah, and like it's like everything like thrown in there for, yeah, for no actual effect or reason.
And also it's The Matrix, and also I don't even know what movie it is where
Virtuosity.
An 18-year-old black female jazz singer suddenly picks up a gun in a computer game and teaches the army how to kill Nazis.
That's insane.
So a little bit of trivia for you guys. That Demimonde is the first book that we ever talked about on a podcast.
Is that really? Wow.
Yeah. Page Count. Whoa. Podcast. Nico swooped in with the Demimonde first.
Wow.
2011, maybe.
That's amazing.
Is it really?
I don't know why that's lodged in my brain, but
so
yeah, this is it.
Yeah, it means this is the last episode.
That makes this our last podcast.
I like how our podcast... our back podcast lasted so long that it's now 3 years past. Right, yeah. Future timeline.
Well, goodbye.
We're in our own musket simulation fighting Nazis now. The worst book I ever read, this was hard because unlike you three, I am a less adventurous reader. I feel like I tend to read things that I at least know I'm going to probably enjoy or are familiar, right? So like I'll like just read another Roth book, or I'll like read another 33 and a third or whatever it is. Like, I don't, you know, there's plenty of comics I've not liked, whatever, but still there's like what I don't have as many examples of like, oh, I read something on a flyer and like, it was really, really bad or whatever. There are a couple that came to mind. And like Dave mentioned, a lot of them are from the podcast. So I thought about the worst written book technically and objectively has come from Bigfoot. 100%. Like, it was just inept in every way. And it was gross and offensive and horrible. It was racist and lots of rape and just like horrible. But it doesn't really count, I don't think. Like, worst book you read sort of has to have, there has to be something more behind it. Because you can't just, I don't know. I feel like it wasn't a fair fight against Comfort Bigfoot. So I was thinking about How to Seduce a Naked Werewolf, which was also bad. Definitely slightly better than Comfort Bigfoot in terms of there was definitely no rape, or at least less rape, I think. I can't quite remember if there was. There might have been. Tragically.
Just a little bit of rape.
Yeah. But also kind of inept in its way. And just, I don't know. That's the kind of book that I feel like is written for a certain audience. And I just am clearly not it because I'm not a furry. And then moved on. The one I landed on was Fifty Shades of Grey, which is maybe inevitable and obvious. It was our first drunk review. It was read as part of a bet that I lost involving Buck Hunter in my sort of payment or my come up with something to read that book and talk about in the podcast. And I hated it. And it was bad. But I counted it because it has more cred. Like, it was a very successful book. It spawned a movie series and several sequels and reinterpretations, an entire subgenre of literature sprung up around Fifty Shades of Grey. Like, it's not just erotica. It's like this very specific version of serialized erotica featuring pseudo BDSM themes. So it has its own little cottage industry, and it was genuinely bad. Like, it was a bad book. It wasn't sexy. It wasn't interesting. It wasn't romantic. Like, all the sort of all the components of Fifty Shades of Grey did not work. The writing was bad and cringy, but you can look past that stuff if the, I don't know, if like the sex scenes are exciting. You could be like, well, at least there's that. But even that wasn't true. It was mostly about a contract that was extremely boring, and I hated reading it. And I didn't go to the sequels to follow the story because I didn't care. I saw the movie, the first one, didn't see the others because I didn't have any investment beyond that. So that's got to be it. It was horrible. I genuinely, truly hated it. At the time, as I said, it was the worst book I ever read, and I was drunk, so I'm not sure that qualified, but now I am sober, and I still believe it, so I guess I was right. Myth confirmed. So that's it. That's our litany. Some contenders that didn't get mentioned, Zabib and the King, gave this podcast, or an earlier version of the podcast.
I mentioned
that. Oh, sorry, you did mention them. There's some others we've read. Atlas Shrugged didn't get mentioned.
Atlas Shrugged was pretty terrible.
The Todd Burpo.
Yeah, God, oh, it's yeah. Real. Yeah, if Marcos would be here. For sure,
Todd Burpo. I mean, we didn't read it, so that wouldn't have been a right. Fair. Pretty yeah. Sure that's Marcos.
Yeah, yeah, though. Definitely. Yeah. Or maybe it was a Sarah Palin book.
Or the Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin. Yeah.
Toward it. Yeah. Lots of contenders. Readers, let us know what your least favorite book is of all time. Tell us on Twitter at GagBabies and also email us at GagBabiesPodcast@gmail.com so we can hear your thoughts. You can also go to Patreon.com/GagBabies and access our secret bonus podcast for $1 a month. You can get access to all those episodes, and there's fun stuff happening there. There's drafts and Broto Bros, and we're playing games with the Emu Machine and all kinds of fun stuff. So do that and get more Yak Babies in your life. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.